You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon and shalom. This is Pastor Ted and Wendy Campo from Aliyah Ministries International, pitch hitting this afternoon for Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries here in Stuart.
This program, Raising the Standard, is on WCNO Radio 89.9 every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. You can also find us on the internet, so you'll always be connected to the Word of God. Let me give you the phone number for Spirit of Prophecy Ministries in Stuart, Florida. Their phone number is 772-285-7007. And our prayers go out to our pastors. We are believing in a speedy recovery and renewed strength. And we are looking forward to seeing them back in the pulpit. And just to let you know that Spirit of Prophecy will be opening their new facility on Friday, June 1st. And that will be our first Shabbat at Board of Realtors in the...
Board of Realtors is now located on U.S. 1, just a little bit north of Gold's Gym. You'll be able to see a large sign on the facade of the building. When it comes time for our first service on a Friday evening, there will be a smaller sign out front identifying Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. So come and join us Friday evening at 7 p.m. as we celebrate Shabbat.
And now to recap what we have discussed these past 2 weeks. The counting of the Omer at Passover, 49 days from the exile from Egypt, the children of Israel, and the mixed multitude, they were not only Hebrews, were to set themselves apart to purify themselves in order to receive the Torah, the Ten Commandments, from God at Mount Sinai. This is the festival of Shavuot. Shavuot parallels Pentecost. Shavuot was an external receiving of the Word, while Pentecost was an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have learned how the children of Israel prepared and followed the festivals. We have learned there are 3-foot pilgrimages where in the future, when the temple is built in Jerusalem, the men are commanded to go up to Jerusalem to ascend and celebrate Passover, Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, Feast of Tabernacles, which is Sukkot or booths. They live in tents, booths. We discussed the similarities of how the Lord manifested himself at Sinai during Shavuot and Pentecost, the upper room, the sound, the fire, the smoke. Now, the last part of this teaching will be the similarity between the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot or booths, and Pentecost and the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. We begin, the glory of God appears. The glory appeared at Mount Sinai. The Lord instructed Moses to build a tabernacle, or mishkan, a residence or dwelling place, which was the portable earthly dwelling place, like a tent, of God amongst the children of Israel from the time of the Exodus from Egypt through the conquering of the land of Canaan. Once into Canaan, the promised land given to them by God, they would eventually build a solid temple with a firm foundation in Jerusalem. Believers, we as believers, believe Yeshua is our firm foundation. We read 2 Chronicles 5. Speaks of Solomon, son of King David, had gathered all the furnishings to build the temple from his father. King David received the plans, the specs from the Lord on the way the temple would be constructed. For God is a God of order and patterns. And so I will read 2 Chronicles 5. Thus, all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold, and all the instruments he put among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the 7th month, Tishri. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and of all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for a multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark. And the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves of the ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables, or the tablets, which Moses put therein at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries, they were singing praises, songs, and harps, stood at the east end of the altar. And with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God.
Amen.
So we see there has been a progression of order in each festival. With each time and season, Hashem, God, instructs us on how to prepare ourselves for Him, what objects to use. He is drawing us closer to a relationship with Him, with getting to know Him. Hashem has set an order for us to follow. He wants us to be sold out for Him. The only way is the receptiveness of the heart, having a new spirit and a heart of flesh, a heart receptive to the Holy Ghost, which makes a believer's life in the Torah of Yeshua held to a higher standard than Moses' Torah, because of the circumcision of the heart. It shines its light on the motive of the heart. Doesn't the Lord instruct us on how we should build our earthly vessels, our tabernacles, our bodies, what to fill it with and what not? Tabernacles is a foreshadow of the kingdom of God. We, believers in Yeshua, house God within us. We carry God wherever we go. When this kingdom actually comes, there will be an outward manifestation of the glory of God. In 2 Chronicles 5, we are given several conditions that parallel the day of Pentecost. First, the priests had sanctified or set themselves apart. Second, there were 120 priests present. Third, they were as one. They were in unity. Fourth, they were worshiping God and waiting on His presence to come. Fifth, the glory came and filled the house of God. The sights, the sounds, the wonders, the cloud of God descended. Fast forward to Acts 1, verse 12 through 15. The upper room, the giving of the power, God reveals the same sequence of events to bring His glory. First, they set themselves apart as they were instructed. Luke 24, verse 49. Second, there were 120 saints, believers, gathered together in Acts 1, verse 15. Third, they were in one accord with prayer and supplication, Acts 1, verse 14. Fourth, they were worshiping God. Fifth, the glory of God came after 10 intense days, Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. 10 in Judaism. Starts off in a 10. In order to have a meeting, you need a quorum of 10. There's always been 10. Nothing, prayers don't start unless you have 10 men first opening the prayer. So the glory of God filled the upper room and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In the past, at Mount Sinai, God chose the exact day He Himself would speak from the mountaintop to Israel. Shavuot on Sivan 6, then approximately 1,500 years later, He chose the exact same day again to speak to His people. However, this time, He allowed man to speak on his behalf as He filled them with His Spirit of empowerment. See Acts 1:15. And I'll paraphrase. Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and as the Spirit gave him utterance, he spoke in the upper room. And now, honey, you continue.
The wonderful part of the celebration of Pentecost evolves around the fulfillment of the spoken word from Yeshua Himself. If we would go back until Luke 24 and 49, and behold, I, Yeshua is speaking here, and He says, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now that word endued from the King James is a word that we don't hear very often these days. But when Yeshua used it, that endowment was a gift that was given, a gift that was given in excess, if you like, a gift that was given in great, great surplus, so that when the power came upon ordinary men, they were then equipped to do extraordinary things. Let's go on into Acts 1 and 8, when we see a repetition of this word. Jesus has spoken once, and now he's speaking again. Whenever Jesus says things more than one time, we need to pay attention. We need to heed, that is, put into action the word that we hear with our ear. We need to make it so real that it moves us to action. If there's no action involved, there cannot be any power. But because there is power, we can become emboldened. Let's read Acts 1 and verse 8. And Yeshua says again, "But ye shall receive power." After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Isn't this awesome? Yeshua himself says, you shall receive power. Power to do what? Well, first of all, power to change.
Yes.
Power to change your life.
Yes.
You see, this whole walk, dear saints, is a process. This whole walk is going from glory to glory to glory, higher and higher and higher. And it demands a life of sacrifice. Mm. It demands a life of death.
Yes.
And it requires a life of transformation.
Yes, Lord.
God is in the transformation business. Mm. He is interested, and his heart's desire is that we be transformed more and more into the likeness and image of his son, Yeshua. That can only come from the outside in, dear saints. We can try to change ourselves. We can try to break old habits. We can try to do everything to avoid old ways, the ways of the flesh. But now we have supernatural power that we have been endued with because of the Holy Ghost who indwells us. So Jesus says, this is the power that I promised you. This was the promise of my Father, and now it's going to become actuated, and then you need to activate it yourself by taking steps in your life.
That's
that
right.
May require faith.
That's right.
What is faith? Faith is not trust in yourself, but it's trust in him.
Hallelujah.
That he can do great and mighty things in us.
Yes, he can.
And one of the things that the Holy Ghost wants to do is to make you a witness. What does a witness do? A witness, by his actions, manifests that very same glory that fell at Sinai, that fell during the temple, that fell again on the day of Pentecost. It is that power that is built up within us, that energy source, that's looking to burst forth, looking to burst out, you see? And sometimes we don't even have to open our mouths to do that, because the glory of God is upon us. It is reflected in our face, reflected by our smile, reflected by our disposition, reflected by our heart going out to people and saying to people without saying a word, I love you. You are special. You are important to me. And God wants us to display that power. He wants us to be witnesses right where we live, here in Jerusalem, in Stuart, Florida, in Port St. Lucie, in Fort Pierce, in Jensen Beach, in Hope Sound, in Indiantown, etc., etc. Wherever it is that you live, places that you work, places where you shop, places where you worship, places where you are educated. This is our Jerusalem. And God says, I want you to start out first in Jerusalem. I want you to start out first, even in your own home. I want you to be a witness. Men of God, husbands, fathers, I'm talking to you this afternoon. You are to be the leaders in your household. You are to lead by example. And that example requires you to worship the Lord and hold up the Lord our God above all. Mika Moka Adonai. There is none like unto you, O Lord. This is your lifestyle. This is your call. This is your mission, first and foremost, to worship the Lord. And then the woman of God that God has put at your side, you're to die for her. You're to lead by example. Your love is to permeate your entire household. And yes, that love is contagious. And that love filters down into the hearts of your children as well. That's why God says, first, I want you to be a witness in Jerusalem. And then he goes on and to say, Judea and Samaria. I get such a kick, forgive me, when I read this scripture. Because I love Israel, and Judea and Samaria are considered the heartland of Israel. It is not occupied territory. It may be contested territory, but it is the very, very heartland of Israel, the places where Yeshua himself and his disciples, where they walked, where they taught, where there were miracle upon miracle. And so, for any one of us, Judea and Samaria could be Martin County, St. Lucie County, Indian River County, Okeechobee County, Palm Beach County, the surrounding areas. Also could mean the state of Florida. It could mean southeastern United States. It could mean throughout the entire country itself. And then finally, God says, I want you to take this power into the uttermost parts of the earth. Yeah, that's right. We're talking about the mission field here, the foreign mission field. There's a home mission field, and there's a foreign mission field. But he wants us to take this power out and to manifest this power in a very, very real way. Look with me into Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And we see now how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua, with the Holy Ghost and with power. Dear saints, you cannot separate the two. You've got the Holy Ghost. You've got power. You've got power because of the Holy Ghost. And what happened in the life and the ministry of Yeshua? Well, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God's presence was with him. God's presence was in him. God's presence had to get out of him. Do you understand? And the way it got out of him is that it was actually manifested, that power was manifested through his ministry of healing and deliverance and teaching. Healing and deliverance and teaching. We cannot underestimate that power that was alive and well in the life and in the ministry of Yeshua 2,000 years ago, and is alive and well in each and every one of us as spirit-filled believers today. Saints of God, you who are in my hearing range this afternoon, please, please understand that that same Holy Ghost power that raised Yeshua from the dead, that resurrected him from the grave after 3 days, that very same Holy Ghost power abides in you today. It's not just something to be talked about, saints. It's something that needs to be used. God has given you Holy Ghost power. There's got to be a purpose for it. And God's purpose is for you to perform all of the signs, wonders, and miracles that Yeshua of Nazareth performed. For the Bible said, God was with him. And he healed all that were oppressed of the devil. The devil will come in and attempt to oppress people physically. He will attempt to oppress people mentally. He will attempt to oppress people emotionally. But dear saints, you have Holy Ghost power that cannot be underestimated.
Thank you, Yeshua.
Yes, indeed. You have that Holy Ghost power that the world is looking for. Yeah, they'll go to doctors. Yeah, they'll go to hospitals. Yeah, they'll go to prescriptions of one sign or another. They'll even go to psychiatrists and all sorts of shrinks and shrunks and everybody else to try to get answers for their problems. But you have got the answer and the solution to their problems.
Amen.
Because you have healing power in your hands.
Yes.
You have the ability to set the captives free.
Resurrection.
Do you
power.
Understand that? You have the ability to set the captives free. And believe me, saints, there are many, many captives in the world today. Some of them, unfortunately, are in your own families. Some of them you encounter at work every day. Some of them are your neighbors. Some of them are your relatives. Some of them are people that you are associated with through different organizations, etc., etc. You can see on the face of people how oppressed they are.
Yes.
You can see by their demeanor. You can even see by their physical stature that they're under bondage.
Yes.
And they're begging to be set free. And the only way they can be set free is through the love and the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells you. Listen to what Paul says. Oh, this is so important. In 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 4, Paul says, now understand this, Apostle Paul was an awesome, awesome preacher and teacher of the word. And his whole ministry, his whole apostolic ministry, was centered around training those up to come alongside of him and then to take his place. He was in charge of multiplication in this newfound kingdom. And he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Wow. Paul says, my preaching and my speech, the words that were coming forth from my mouth, were not with enticing words. I think sometimes today I hear some preachers who are throwing out enticing words. They're very, very eloquent, but they're missing the mark. They're missing the mark because their message is coming from their own wisdom and not from the truth of the Word of God. Preaching is important. It's extremely important. But Paul goes on here and he says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Dear saints, I'm preaching and teaching this message to you today that I call the power gospel, because the gospel that we believe in, the gospel that we preach, has got to be preached, but it must be demonstrated. There must be a demonstration of the Spirit and a demonstration of the power. We can talk, we can make sense, we can counsel, we can do all of these things. I'm reminded of a story once of a missionary whose heart was right before God and loved God with all his heart. He took his family into one of the deepest places in the jungle, and they had to live in huts on bare ground underneath them, and they were infiltrated with all sorts of insects and vermin. They sacrificed their whole lives so that the gospel could go forth. And they waited and waited and waited to get an audience with the chief of the people in that area. And he heard stories about their lifestyle, and he heard stories about the conditions that they were living in. And he was somewhat impressed, but perhaps a little puzzled. Why would these people do this? Why would these people make such a sacrifice to come into my territory, a foreign land? And then I'm reminded of another story, and quite frankly, it's a personal testimony, but I was privileged almost some 10 years ago to minister in Haiti for a period of about a week. And in Haiti, there are many, many, many opportunities for ministry. I mean, so much so, as soon as you get off the plane, a local missionary will come up to you and say, Pastor Ted, you've got a meeting tonight, and tomorrow you've got three meetings, and this goes on every single day, meeting after meeting after meeting, which is wonderful. I love it. But I had an opportunity during this ministry trip to stop at the home of a former witch doctor, voodoo witch doctor, who had come to know Yeshua as Lord and Savior several years before, and he was totally on fire for the Lord. And as soon as we got there, we were told that his daughter, who had been married, lost her husband to hepatitis C virus, but she had contracted it along the way, and she was in a state of very, very, very poor health. and they were afraid that she was going to succumb to that disease as well. And so we were asked to pray for her. And when I went into her room with our team, she was laying in bed. She was extremely, extremely frail, fragile, almost like skin and bones. And she was sitting on the side of her bed, actually, kind of hunched over. And I went up to her, and I, through my interpreter, I said, "Would you please stand up?" And she did that. She stood up. And my wife and I put our arms around her, the two of us, okay? And we prayed a very simple prayer, a prayer of healing. We sat her back down on the bed and we left. 3 days later, we came back for a kind of a follow-up visit on the way to another mission outpost. And she was sitting up. She was in a beautiful, beautiful white dress. I will never, ever forget the smile on her face and the gratitude that she had towards us. God had touched her. God had healed her. Hepatitis C was gone, miraculously, marvelously, to the praise and the honor and the glory of God. You see, that one manifestation of God's healing balm spoke millions and millions of words, spoke many, many, many different messages of preaching, etc., etc. And Paul said, "I do not want to be considered an eloquent preacher based upon words that were enticing of man's wisdom, but I want to operate in the demonstration of the Spirit and the demonstration of power." And that's what it's all about, saints. You have Holy Ghost power. And because you have Holy Ghost power indwelling in you, you need to step out in faith. You can do all of the things that Yeshua did 2,000 years ago. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is alive and well today. And please, please don't fall for the misconception and the myth that somehow the Holy Spirit left us when the last apostle died, when John died on the island of Patmos. See, there was, I can just see it now. There's a whole lineup of people, some 20 or some odd people, waiting to be healed. The first 10 come up to the Apostle John. He lays hands on them. They get healed. Number 11 comes up, and John takes his last breath and expires. And from 11 to 20, they're left out in the cold. No healing, because healing is only available while the apostles were alive. Where does that lie come from? I can't find it in my Bible any place. Oh no, oh no. The same Holy Spirit that was alive at Shavuot, the same Holy Spirit that was alive during the Temple of Solomon, the same Holy Spirit that was alive on the day of Pentecost is alive and well today, and he is desiring to manifest his power through you, through human vessels. You don't have to be well educated. You don't have to have gone to Bible school. You don't have to have received diplomas. You don't have to have any special training except the training that comes from the Word of God. The Word of God says that signs and wonders shall follow those who are empowered by the Holy Ghost. In Hebrews 2 and verse 4, God says, "God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Do you understand? It is God's will today that all illnesses, all infirmities, all physical attacks be eliminated. It is God's desire for you to be healed. And it is God's desire to use you in the healing ministry.
Amen.
Even though you don't have a big name, even though you don't have a big organization behind you, it doesn't matter, saints. God is looking, he's looking for ordinary people.
Yes.
Human vessels to do extraordinary things. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders and miracles. And Ephesians 1:19, the word of God says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power?" His mighty power indwells every single believer. We need to believe in that mighty power that is within us. We can't allow condemnation. We can't allow resentment. We can't allow any distraction from the truth of God's word that does not line up with our walk. Our walk and our talk have got to come together as one. We need to understand that we have been created for God's honor and for God's glory and for God's praise. And the way we can best manifest that is by walking in truth, dear saints, and walking in obedience. Yeah, but what if I lay hands on somebody and they don't get healed? That's not your problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's problem.
That's right.
God may heal them an hour later. He may heal them a day later. He may heal them a week later. Or for some reason, he may not heal them at all. But please, don't let one disappointment keep you from maximizing your ability to kick the devil in the pants.
Yeah.
And to set the captives free. Just continue to lay hands on the sick. Continue to believe.
Amen.
For God's word and his glory that is within you will follow you and will be manifested. You have been created to walk in the supernatural realm.
Amen.
That's where we are to live, in the supernatural realm.
Hallelujah.
Look what Mark 16 has to say, starting in verse 17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe." Now, are there any of you out there today that are believers? If you are believers, that's all you have to be, is a believer. The Bible says, "These signs shall follow you. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Can it be any more clearly stated than that, dear saints? That you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Say that to yourself right now. I shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's God's truth. That's God's word. "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
That is
dear
awesome.
Saints, that's God's promise. Now, you need to take God for his word. He's not a man that he can lie. Amen, baby?
Amen. And now we're going to close out our radio program. This is Raising the Standard. This is every Saturday from 12 to 1, WCNO Radio 89.9. And now we're going to leave you with this song, and it is To Give Praise to the Holy Ghost. Let the weight of your glory fall.
Let the way
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.